The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
It is that time again. Welcome to Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. It's always my joy to bring to you somebody in the community who's doing something for the cause of the gospel. And today we've got Jan Edwards, and she's going to be talking about something that is involving a celebrated day. Today is a very important day. July 30th is the World Day Against Trafficking in Persons. It's dealing with the human trafficking condition that is going on in our country today, and it is very serious. That is something that we've heard a lot about, and yet it's my experience that a lot of people don't quite yet know all of the details that would be very helpful for them to know about this issue. Like, for example, Florida is one of the leading areas where this sad but very real problem exists in a major way. Jan is president of Paving the Way Foundation. That's an organization that is committed to empowering communities to be a fierce disruption in the cycle of child trafficking around the globe. She's also been featured on NBC, on podcasts, on iHeartRadio. She's been given awards by Orlando Magazine and the American Haitian Art Network. She also produced an award-winning film called Trapped in the Trade, which we'll be discussing today. Jan, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here.
You've been around. You've done some things on radio and television. Actually, you've made some productions, some film productions.
I have.
And I'm really looking forward to getting those details all laid out, because as I mentioned, this is a program where we are emphasizing this problem that exists. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I think people were completely unaware early on of this. And it was probably to them, and as it was to me, almost a confusing term to say human trafficking.
Yes.
What does that mean? I mean, what does that say? And then it kind of came down to sex trafficking, which becomes a little bit more understanding. But the two of them are, it's not as simple as just saying it's only that. There are many different ways that human trafficking happens. And sadly, it's sometimes introduced by parents. That's just an amazing thing. So first of all, we'll put that discussion to the side for just a moment.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. Well, what do you want to know?
Okay. Let's start with where you grew up, what part of the country. And I understand you have actually some Indian heritage.
I do. So I'm going to start a little farther back than that. So my dad was a Navy pilot, and my mom was a occupational therapist and a hand therapist by trade. She's actually a founding member of the American Hand Therapy Society way back when. So I grew up in an environment of very fierce, patriotic, God-fearing, God-loving household, right? And they adopted me. I was only 3 days old. And it was interesting because my dad was in the Navy. He traveled all over the world. He was a Navy pilot, Navy commander. So he ran several bases. And one of his friends, you know, because people back in the day, right, there was a lot of people going in and out of bases and stuff. And so he met this gentleman by the name of Jack Rose. And, you know, just in passing, he said, yeah, my wife and I are looking at adopting a child from Europe. And he said, you don't want to do that. And my dad's like, okay. And that was it. That was all the conversation they had. Fast forward 6 months later, Jack's no longer there. Phone rings. And he calls my mom first. They became very good friends. He calls my mom first and says, Ann, we have a baby for you. I've already talked to Dale. He says, great. Oh, yeah. She's like, sure. He was an attorney from Arkansas. That's really all I'm going to say about him. Just an extraordinary man. Right. Then he calls my dad. Okay. So I was raised in an environment where, you know, my mom had a theory that you live in a community where you give back. You know, you either give back time or money. And when you're younger, you have a lot of time, not a lot of money. So you volunteer. As you get older, you might have, you know, you get into your career, you have more money, not a lot of time, you give your resources to the community. And as you get a little older, hopefully, right, you have both, So you give back both. Mm-hmm. So it's been ingrained in me. I've been volunteering and being a part of a community since I was 14 years old. Right. So volunteerism, impacting my community has always been part of my DNA.
That trait, that value of giving back mm-hmm. is something that seems to be very common in that generation, not so much in the current generation, even though they talk about it a lot.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting about that, though? I got to tell you. So I have a daughter, she's 28, so she's in that millennial space. She's my kid. Right. So she volunteered from the time she was 9 years old. She did basket brigade with me. Okay. Mm-hmm. So she has that in her. And I get interns every semester from University of Central Florida. They're giving their time for this topic. Right. So I think there's a perception based on what the media says versus the reality that I experience every single day. My interns, every single crew of my interns have been extraordinary, and they are parts of clubs. They go give time to their church. They go impact in the community. So
that's really not your experience there.
No, it's mm-hmm. really not. And I've over a period of time, I've come to really not believe what's being told. Mm-hmm. So I'm experiential. I want to go out and talk to people. I want to go see what's happening out in the world. And what I've seen is that doesn't match what's being told to us.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot being told to us today where
there
it
sure
doesn't
is.
Match up with reality.
Nope. No, it doesn't. Yeah. And so I was adopted out of the Cherokee tribe. Okay. And I reconnected with my birth family about 6 years ago and discovered that my great grandmother walked the Trail of Tears.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I'm a direct descendant of Chief Dragging Canoe, who was the very last chief that stood up against the colonials. Hmm. So the community connection and the fierce warrior, mm-hmm. I come by it true both ways. I come by it by my DNA, and then I come by it by my environment of my parents. Really, my dad was really the instrument of you can do anything you want. You you're responsible for your life. You can do anything you want. You choose. You have the say. And my mom really gave me the solid work ethic. So, it was like I'm a combination of a lot of really powerful things and gifts that God's given me that I take out to go make a difference in the world. And sometimes I step on people's toes unintentionally because of my passion. And I'm okay with it because I was thinking about the parable of Jesus destroying the tables and stuff, right outside the temple. It's like, no, this isn't the space for this. He only got angry a couple of times. Mm-hmm. That was one of them. Right. And that sometimes we have to shake the tables. We have to make people be a little uncomfortable about topics like this because people don't want to talk about it. It is weird. It is uncomfortable. We don't talk about sex. Mm-hmm. Right. Which leaves our children in this. Well, how am I going to learn about it? Right. And you get all these pictures on social media of, children in inappropriate positions and showing inappropriate things. And they think it's okay because everyone's doing it. And so, really, unless our parents have to take this on, our educators have to take this on, our educational environment has to take the conversation on of, no, this is your body. You get to say how it goes. And by the way, under 18, you still have people who are going to guide you. Called mm-hmm. your parents, mm-hmm. right? So there's an importance of the conversation about what is sexual exploitation? What is modern day slavery? What is human trafficking really? And then you've got states like California that drop the age of consent down to 16. It's like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking?
Well, that's the kind of mixed messaging that is out there all the time. Mm-hmm. And even you were talking about under 18 and the role that parents really are supposed to have. And we know that the Bible would teach a very strong message about mm-hmm. the role that a parent
yes.
will have in a child's life. But we're living in a time where even that is now being so downplayed and being questioned. Mm-hmm. I go all the way back to some of the early statements by Hillary Clinton years ago. It takes a village. So it's not a parent that needs to raise a child. It takes much more than that. It takes people all around. And so you get all these ideas of what is right and what is wrong. And none of them are based on the Bible.
Right.
And then you get this confusion. And now you find to me, just a real mismatch of signals that are being given to parents and to children.
It really, really is. And, you know, we've, I'm happy to say we've educated almost 15,000 kids and adults in the past 4 years. And the conversations that we're committed to them having is exactly that. It's, you know, we want parents to have the dialogue to for them to understand about this thing, right?
This mm-hmm. thing called this thing phone. Called the phone.
Yeah, and you know, I'm working with a school out in Arizona, and a community development person I'm speaking with, she said, Jan, she goes, what are some of the objections? What's someone gonna say? And I said, well, you know, people are like, is this an appropriate conversation to have with a, you know, a fourth grader, a fifth grader, a sixth grader, a seventh grader? And I said, well, I said, here's my question back to that parent. Did you give him a smartphone?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, I said, yeah, because one of my friends who's a Homeland Security agent, it's a great line. He said, he goes, the moment you hand your child a smartphone, it's like handing them a loaded gun
mm-hmm.
because they have access to the entire world. And the entire world has access to them.
Yeah. And that's the dangerous thing because they've got every opinion, every force, every mm-hmm. idea that we as parents would want to shield our kids from. Mm-hmm. It's now being just piped right into them.
It sure
and,
is.
And hours upon hours a day without any type of oversight mm-hmm. or accountability.
Mm-hmm. And luckily there's organizations and companies out there like Bark.us. They actually have an API you can put on your child's phone or your child's laptop that monitors the conversations they're having. And I always coach parents. I said, look, I said, you have to have this conversation with your child before you put this on their phone. I said, because if you don't and they find out, which they will,
mm-hmm.
I said, you've just now broken a sacred trust. It's going to be super hard to get back. And I think one of the things that's really a challenge right now, especially the past 18 months, is we don't know how to have conversations anymore. And I think it's becoming a lost art.
Well, you go into a restaurant, Jan, and you see families sitting around, if there are families there.
On their phones.
They're on their phones. All heads are down.
Yeah. So,
in the screen.
So one of the things we really encourage parents to is to, you know, I'm a huge fan of the Socratic method of education, of teaching, and of being curious, right? You can't be condescending and, oh, I know better. Because P.S. parents, in the world of technology, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You don't understand what they're dealing with on a daily basis. Like you and me, if we weren't invited to somebody's birthday party, you know, at school in third or fourth grade, we generally didn't find out about it until Monday. And that's when our feelings got hurt. Now it's all over social media, right? There's all these pictures of somebody having a party and you're like, I didn't get invited.
Yeah.
And there you are by yourself alone. And so your mind's going to go in different ways. So really the art of conversation and the art of parenting has really been lost over, in my opinion, it's only my opinion, in the past 18 months, because parents have been forced to become teachers, right? They've been forced to figure out how to work from home. They've been forced to.
And all this because of the pandemic.
Yeah. Because I, you know, now how do I manage my food, my time? You know, I'm part of the Orange County CRC, which is the Community mm-hmm. Resource Center. And, you know, at the very beginning, we have calls every other week. At the very beginning, you know, there's apartment complexes over in Ocoee in the west part of town that they all had jobs at Disney. Mm. They used public transportation to get to Disney.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have access to food. They didn't have access to, because remember, it was great. The Orange County schools gave the kids lunches, said, mm-hmm. come get it. Well, if I don't have a car, how am I going to go get that? Right. And so, you know, it was great because in the conversations, I said, well, can't they take that? I said, can't they put the food in the buses? And they're like, oh, my God. Yeah. Right. So the Orange County schools actually put the food in the buses to go out to those apartment complexes so people would have food. Those are the kinds of that's the kind of thinking. Right. And kinds of conversations, because if my kid gets food and I don't get food, how's that going to go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's. We're at the convergence of a lot of things. They're going to put families at risk to be exploited
mm-hmm.
because people will pay for sex. They will pay for watching sex. They will pay for pictures and they'll pay $50 for one picture. Well, $50 is a lot of groceries. And if I hear my parents or I hear my mom or dad talking about, I don't know how to make ends meet. If we hear them talking about, you know, I might lose my job, and then a friend of theirs tells them they can earn all kinds of money on OnlyFans by just showing a picture, and I can help my family and feed my family and, oh yeah, buy those pair of shoes or that purse. Sounds like a really great idea. You know, and you have to remember, their prefrontal cortex is not fully developed until between 28 and 30. So you've got this instant decision of, I think I'm going to help my parents. I think I'm going to help my family by taking an inappropriate picture of myself and putting it someplace, having someone pay for that. And now I'm down a road I can never come back from, because here's the thing. The moment that picture leaves my phone, I can never get it back.
Yeah, you can't control anything on the internet like that.
No.
It's there forever.
No, and there's places on the dark web, because I work with law enforcement across the country, right? So I hear things, I learn things about what they're dealing with on a daily basis inside the realm of you know, the anti-trafficking space. And, you know, there's places on the dark web where people will download a picture. You know, we're going to pretend I'm a 15-year-old girl and you're your age, right? And you think inappropriately. But you're interacting with me like a 15-year-old boy, right? Mm-hmm. You're cute and all that kind of stuff. And we start to bond and create a relationship. And the next thing you know, you're sending me a picture of a body part, right? It's not really your body part, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a picture of somebody else's body part.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, come on, I love you. I'll only keep it for me, blah, blah, blah. So I send it, right? Even if I never sent you a picture again, you're going to put that picture out on the dark web. And there are going to be thousands of other men that have access to the picture. Because that's what they do on the dark web, is they trade pictures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just saw that article about the young pastor up in Tennessee. He had over 200 pieces of child pornography, child rape on his computer.
How heartbreaking is this?
Yeah, God, you know, and a lot of it stems from us not being brave enough and courageous enough to have the uncomfortable conversations with our kids. And that's one of the things we do at Paving the Way. Is we have every month we have parent tech talks, TECH tech talks, because we're committed to empowering parents to have these kinds of conversations with their kids in a empowering, effective, you know, multi-communicative conversation. So where we're curious and going, yeah, I heard about this OnlyFans thing. There's so many apps. I so don't understand. Honey, have you heard of that? Like, I don't even know what it is. Can you explain it to me? You know, and now you've actually shifted the power, right, where the child gets to educate you. And now you're starting to hear what they're saying, what they're sharing, what they think about it.
And where they've been living, really.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so what we coach parents is, you have to be curious, right? You've got to be open. I said, and they might say something that in the back of your head, you're like, oh my gosh, what do you know? I said, you've got to do everything you can not to react.
Mm.
Because in that moment, that 3 seconds of mom, dad, I did something, right? And that 3 seconds of your response literally can alter that child's life.
Now, you brought up a point that I've not heard about. The child's actual role is sometimes the leading way that opens the door for their own trap condition of being drawn into this thing. And it's out of a motive that might even in some weird way be like wanting to help the family.
Absolutely. Look, people pay for sex. Mm. It's been around since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
And the internet has really, it's a brilliant tool. The fact that we have access to the world's actually kind of cool, right? You know, I was on the phone with I was on Zoom yesterday with my grant writer, and we were working on a grant together, and she's like, it's kind of cool that I'm in Arizona and you're there and we can do this together. Right.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And then there's this dark side of that.
That's right.
That we as parents must have that conversation with our kids in a way that's impactful and memorable.
The president of Paving the Way Foundation, Jan Edwards, my guest today. We're going to hear more from Jan in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. Listen, we all know in business nowadays, one of the hardest things to get right is your social media advertising. We all struggle with this, right? Trying to get content, good content at that, always struggling with your phone, never understanding the settings, and then when you finally post the picture or video, it looks terrible. Well, I'm about to let you in on a little secret in how to make this problem simply go away. I'm talking about Boundless Drone Services. Let me tell you, Boundless Drone Services takes away all the stress. Brian and his team are ready to help you create awesome video content of your next corporate event, training, or educational video. Or maybe you'd like to do what we did at Mark Radio and have them highlight the wonderful team that you have working for you. At Boundless Drone Services, they really can do it all. Contact them today at 407-601-2438 or go directly to their website at boundlessdroneservices.com to see how they can help you take your business to the next level in marketing. My guest today in the studio is Jan Edwards from Paving the Way Foundation. How did you come up with that name?
That's such a fun question. I just had that dialogue yesterday. I was invited to the Get Health Summit at the UN 8 years ago. And
now when we say UN, we're talking about the United Nations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've never got an invitation like that.
No.
Congratulations.
You're welcome. Anyway, so it was there. Have you ever been to a conference where you hear someone speak or you see someone interacting? You're like, I got to meet that person.
Uh-huh. Sure.
So there was a gentleman up on stage that was that. His name's Dr. Mahari. He's a neurosurgeon out of, he lives up in Tennessee. Anyway, and they were speaking about solar technology and cell phone technology and how physicians use that technology to help their constituency. And they were talking about how they have to take gas to the generators for the, poles. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, they're living in Africa. Why don't they use solar panels for heaven's sake? And I lean over to a friend of mine who's very active in the Middle East in fighting against human trafficking and the scourges against humanity. And he leans over, he goes, because there's no roads. And I'm like, okay, well, why aren't there any roads? Leans over, corruption.
Right.
And over here, because I'm always looking for the root of the issue, like mm-hmm. what's going to solve the problem? Like, I don't put a Band-Aid on a gaping wound. What caused the wound, right? And I thought, well, I'm paving the way. Okay, why don't they have any roads? And I was sitting in a parking lot. I'm thinking, because I was very clear, because that led to a trip to Ethiopia, which led to what I'm doing right now. Yeah, so Dr. Mahari, we exchanged cards, we exchanged emails, we exchanged texts, and I was really looking forward to having a conversation with him. He's like, oh, we're getting ready to go to Ethiopia next month. And I'm like, great, have a good time, send me pictures, call me when you get back. He sends me an email and says, do you want to go? Well, it's not every day you get invited to go to Ethiopia. So I went, and that's really where this journey began, mm-hmm. is I witnessed anyone that's listening, if you've ever been on a mission trip, but at the end of the day, you're tapped out. You know, all you want is a shower, some food, and go to bed, right? Because you're giving your heart, your soul, your passion to other people, which is great, and it's also, exhausting. And I'm looking out the window, and there's two older men and two younger girls, and it just didn't feel right. You know that feeling in your tummy?
Mm-hmm.
And I went home to my sponsor and I shared with him what I saw. And he's like, oh, yeah, that was probably human trafficking. And I'm looking at him and I said, wait, what? And he said, Jan, there's 4.5 million orphans in Ethiopia. We're the number one source of human trafficking into the Middle East. Now, you got to get this, is 8 years ago. So Epstein hadn't happened. Ghislaine hadn't happened. Peter Nygaard hadn't happened. You know, none of these high profile human trafficking cases, none of that had happened. And I'm looking at him. I go, hang on a second. I said, are you telling me people are selling people? I couldn't wrap my head around it. He looked at me. He's like, Jan, where you been? I'm like, well, I live in Orlando. Happiest place on earth. Right? We don't talk about this kind of stuff. And he said, Jan, he said, this is a $150 billion industry.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right there that God laid it on my heart.
Wow.
Yeah. So I came home and started to do some research, and that's really how this came about. And to come all the way back to answer your question, right? So I literally learned about Africa, went to Africa, came back, and I'm sitting in a parking lot, and I knew that there was something I needed to do. And I thought, well, I said, how about we pave the way? How about paving the way? We're going to pave the way to freedom. We're going to pave the way to prosperity. We're going to pave the way to hope. We're going to pave the way. And so I imagine myself as the tip of the arrow in this conversation. Because God gives us a certain level of influence, and God gives us a certain manner of speaking. And I've been blessed in that my level of influence has really impacted people, not only here locally, but across the country and quite frankly, internationally. So that's in my world, I have the privilege and honor and opportunity to kind of be the point of the arrow in mm-hmm. this conversation for a lot of areas, not all of them. know, there's people that have been in this fight way longer than me. Tomas Lars, who's, you know, part of United Abolitionist. You know, he's been in this fight for, I think, about 15, 16 years, right? There's other advocates around the state that have been in this fight for 20 years. But God's given a particular thing for me to do, which is educate our kids and educate our parents.
Now, you know, so often young people today, from millennials downward, Gen Z and all, the thing that's often thrown out is this issue that we were talking about earlier, involvement. Yet there's this area, this awareness that we're talking about right now has really been picked up by this generation.
Mm-hmm.
And there are deep feelings that are going on. And I believe it could be one of the most clear calls that's been given to a generation that this is a major problem.
Mm-hmm.
And yet so many people, it is so painful to hear. It is painful to discuss.
It is.
It is painful to read statistics.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what is very painful, it's to hear the stories of where it happens in our malls, in our neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
where we live.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so proud of young people for picking up. Now, there's a lot to be said. There's a lot might need to be balanced in the approaches for dealing with this thing on human trafficking. But there has been a call, and there's been many who have answered
mm-hmm.
that call. You're one of them. I like your imagery about being the tip of an arrow. Because, you know, that tip plays its role. It's not,
it sure does.
It's not the whole arrow.
Mm-mm.
And it's not the fight. It's not the battle. It's not the war.
Mm-mm.
But you're carrying your part.
Absolutely. And, you know, I want to riff off of what you just said about the young people. So I'm reading this phenomenal book called Angel Armies by Tim Sheets. And he talks about the war eagles. And that's this generation coming up behind us, the remnant. You know, the remnant are here doing what we're doing. And then there's this whole generation of war eagles that will take this fight forward for us. And that's one of the things I was having a dialogue with somebody yesterday. I said, look, I said, my job is to begin this conversation and do what I can to do to keep it sustainable and duplicatable such that this conversation continues until my children's children's children read it about in a history book. Oh yeah, there was this thing called modern day slavery. There was this thing called human trafficking. There was this thing where parents had to sell their children to survive. There was this thing, right? Like it's history. So what we create today lives on far beyond me and you,
mm-hmm.
you know, that people really are empowered to make the kind of difference there is to make because, you know, this has been hidden. It's hidden in plain sight. It's one of my favorite terms about this conversation because it's literally happening every single day. Right here in Orlando, and kids don't even have to leave their house because it's happening on social media.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening in the recesses of social media. It's happening in Snapchat after dark. It's happening on Instagram. It's happening on Facebook. It's happening on every single social media app there is. Now, the good news is a lot of these companies do have, I just read an article yesterday that Facebook has 35,000 people watching the millions of images that come onto their platform on the daily, right? But they can't look at all of them. They can't see all of them. And that's really where you and me come into play. Like we have to pay attention to, gosh, that doesn't, you know, you're, you know, maybe doing Facebook with your kid or whatever. And one of their friends pops up and, you know, it's a questionable picture. You know, it's a great opportunity to have a conversation with your child. And secondly, it's also a great opportunity for, hey, you know what, have you talked to them? Have you checked in with them? You know, I'm going to call their parent because I don't know if they know that this picture's there. And mm-hmm. one of our mission ambassadors has a beautiful 16-year-old daughter. She's a cheerleader and like the girl's just stunning. And her mom monitors every single picture she puts on social media because she knows what could potentially happen. And you remember, their prefrontal cortex is not fully developed. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to think they're beautiful. Everybody wants to feel appreciated and accepted and chosen. And if they're not getting it at home in a way that they need it, they're going to go find it someplace else.
Now, you're helping right here with an understanding of context, why a parent must go beyond the bounds of criticism, either by their youth or mm-hmm. by other people saying you're violating that child's privacy, you're violating their freedom, and that's really not true.
Yeah,
in this
who pays the cell phone bill?
Yeah. Because this is,
yeah.
It's being often referred to as a window to all of the evil of the world.
It is. It totally is. And that's where, you know, our brain, I know a lot of people don't know this, but our brain doesn't register the word don't. So if you ever say someone, don't run, your brain doesn't register the word don't. All it hears is run.
Hmm.
It's interesting, right? So in that same vein, we don't like to talk about negative things. We don't talk like emotional things. And that's one of the reasons why God wrote the film because I wrote it in 2 days, the film Trapped in the Trade, because that's what we use for all of our educational platforms. And it's not gory. It's not gross. It's emotional. And the people that we had play these parts do a phenomenal job. They're all young people. They're all Christians, right? They're all raised in a way that they wanted to give back. They all literally donated their time. And the film leaves children in this space of concern, mm-hmm. which is good. I love middle schoolers. Middle schoolers are my sweet spot. People think I'm nuts, but I love middle schoolers because their brain is fully developed enough that they can understand some of these complex conversations and they still care, like their heart's still open. And when they see the film and they feel that emotion, and then we have a conversation afterwards, right? At the end of our 2-day training, I'll say, you know what that feels like because you felt it. Do you really want anyone in your life to feel that way? And they all say, no. I'm like, great. Here's what we're going to do to interrupt this, right? You're going to share what you learned because we give them stories and we give them facts. The brain, you know, with tactile audio, all those things of learning and visual. So we hit all the methods so they can recall either the fact or the story and they can share it with someone. I said, if you just share that, that will make a difference. I said, and you're going to do one of two things. You're going to start a conversation. They're going to go, when you say, hey, yeah, did you know the average age of entry, it's now dropped to 10 to 13, you know, into human trafficking or, you know, into exploitation. And somebody's going to go, oh God, you know, I heard it was 11 to 14. It's like, yeah, I did too, but it dropped down. It's like, oh my. So now you've started a dialogue, right? Or you, when you say the same question, someone can be like, no way. And you can go away. And then you pick up this thing, right? It's a little indie workstation in your hand and look it up online. Either way, you've now started a conversation and prayerfully spark someone's curiosity enough that they can start to learn about it themselves. So just asking those students to share what they've learned, just that one thing can impact lives, right? Having them go sit down and have lunch with a child who sits by themselves normally. If you talk to any survivor warrior, they want to be not seen. They you know, will go eat lunch in the library. They'll go eat lunch in the ROTC room. They'll go eat lunch not with people. And I said, go have lunch with those people that sit by themselves. I said, because just that one act of kindness. I said, just sit down and go, look, we don't have to talk. I know you see me around. I've seen you around. I just want you to know I'm just going to eat lunch with you today. Can actually save a life. And so we're empowering these children to really care about others, to be connected inside their community, and to take a meaningful action that can literally save someone's life.
For a parent, Jan, that you work with in all of your efforts with paving the way, for a parent that may feel that they've already lost that kind of bridge to their child, it's not too late, is it?
It's never lost. It's never lost. My daughter and I have a conversation, you know, we both agree that our relationship is far more important than any opinion either of us has, right? It's like, do you want to be right? Or do you want to have the relationship? And, you know, we don't come with a handbook.
Okay? It'd be great if we did.
Wouldn't it? You know, but we don't come with a handbook when we pop out of the womb, nor do we come with a handbook as a parent, you know, and it's really empowering. And my daughter has always said she's appreciated this about me is, I will apologize and I will admit when I'm wrong. Sometimes it might take a little longer, you know, but I've raised her to have her own opinion, even though it's completely different than mine, which is fine. I want my child to do the thinking. I want my child to be a critical thinker, right? And for her to come to her own conclusions as a 28-year-old young woman, right? And that got there because from the age of 12 on, we had dialogue and we had conversations. And even though we may get angry at one another, even though we may be upset at one another, over time, it goes away because we're both committed to the relationship. So I just encourage any parent that's listening, you know, for those of you that are Christian and you believe in God, go to your knees. You know, one of my favorite new songs is, you know, I fight my battle on my knees with my hands held high. Drop on your knees and ask the Lord. Talk to the Lord about how you can reconnect with your child. He'll guide you. He will tell you exactly what to do. You know, for a child who wants that, longs that, for that reconnection with those parents, same thing, right? Just drop to your knees and ask God what there is for you to do. For those of you who may not be believers, you know what? Take a deep breath and check your ego and be like, and ask yourself the question, what am I more committed to? Am I more committed to being right with my opinion, or am I committed to having this relationship work? Because you know what? When your parent passes away, there's no getting that time back.
Mm-hmm.
If something, God forbid, happened to your child, there's no getting that time back. It's not worth you having the opinion and you being right about something. It's just not worth it. Even though you are right, you know, it's just not worth it.
There are some things that really do demand immediate response, immediate stepping in, immediate care. And this is certainly one of those things.
It is. It is. And that's where, you know, parents, I encourage you to go to our website. It's pavingthewayfoundation.org. And if you go under programs about the, you know, it's got the drop down menu. About the second or third one down, it's the parent toolkit. So, you know, you can click on that, put your email address in, and you'll download the parent toolkit. And it really helps guide some of these conversations.
Yeah. And I think the word that you brought before we began our program today to me in the studio here was that context really makes the big difference. So, I mean, even thinking about initiating this conversation, really there's work to be done by a parent in just the way that we relate to our children. And the kind of conversations, the kind of tone that's in our voice, all of that can really affect and will affect how they respond to us as parents.
It really will. It's funny. You know, I was on a week-long, not funny, haha, funny, interesting. I was in a week-long conference on Clubhouse. I don't know if you're familiar with Clubhouse yet. It's the best way I can describe Clubhouse is it's an interactive podcast. Right. It's there's live. There's people like you and me talking, but there's people in the audience listening and we can bring them up and ask questions. Right. But it's all in an app.
OK.
And it's called the Wake Up World Summit, and it's all about disrupting and educating people about, you know, child trafficking, child abuse and domestic violence. And the thing that I noticed was really interesting is people have stuff to say and they want to say it. But more importantly, they really need to be heard, and they need to be heard in a way that I get what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to agree with it. I don't have to like it, but I've got to really be the one that is heard and hears them. And so I actually am doing a program in the spring called We Don't Come With a Handbook for that very reason.
Oh, I like it. Sounds like that's going to be a very effective tool. Jan Edwards is my guest. We'll be back with her for one more segment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. Hey, we all know in business that one of the hardest things to really get right is your social media advertising. We all struggle with this, but I'm here to tell you a little secret that will make the problem simply go away. Boundless Drone Services. They take away all the stress. Brian Fay and his team are ready to help you create awesome video content of your next corporate event, training, or educational video. Boundless Drone Services. Contact them today. BoundlessDroneServices.com. Jan Edwards is my guest today in the studio, and Jan is the president of Paving the Way Foundation. It's an organization that is really out there working hard and educating parents, kind of empowering teens to stand up in this battle that's going on in our world. It's not just our country, but what is shocking, I think, to a lot of parents to realize it is as bad can be right here in our own communities in Central Florida. And there are stories that I've heard. Jan has heard stories, and sad. These stories are just heartbreaking because of the fact they involve people in our community. Mm-hmm. They involve young people whose lives are marked, and in some ways are going to be marked for the rest of their lives, even if they're rescued. And thank God they can be rescued.
Well, I'm going to interrupt you right there.
Yeah,
it's recovery.
Okay,
rescued, and if you speak with any survivor warrior, they will say, I chose to leave. I was never rescued. mm-hmm. I chose to leave.
Well, and that reflects so,
absolutely.
The heart right
and
there.
So we, you know, it's interesting because the more, I will say that the most empowering thing that's happened over the past 5 years, 4 years that I've been in this is more and more survivor warriors are speaking out and speaking up. And they're saying back to us, don't use that language, say this. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work, use this, right? Which is, it's so wanted and needed. And that's the beauty of the whole reason why we're having this conversation is July 30th is United Nations World Day Against Trafficking in Persons, right? And their theme this year is Voices of the Survivor, which is so imperative because you and I can guess all day long what this is going to be like for someone. We have no idea. We've all experienced some level of trauma in our life. We all have. It's part of the human process. Now then, the level of trauma that a survivor warrior experiences is beyond anything you and I could ever comprehend. And even in the films that try and portray it, don't even come close, right? Because you're being raped once is going to, you know, you're going to be dealing with stuff for the rest of your life. And that's just once. Mm-hmm. These women and men, right? Because about 30% of victims are men. Hmm. You know, they're raped anywhere from, and I do mean raped, they're raped anywhere from 15, 20, 25, 30 times a night. Every night. There's no night off. There's no vacation. There's no holiday. Because this is a money-making machine for those people behind it. And that's the thing that you've got to get is the level of trauma to the brain. Dr. Toll, who runs the Aspire Residential Services, we have a safe house here in Orlando, which we're very grateful for. It's got 10 beds for adult women. I interviewed him, and it's on my YouTube channel. And he said it takes anywhere from 2 to 3 years for the brain to heal in that kind of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long time.
It's a long
and
time.
That's day to day to day.
Yeah.
Right. And so having the survivor warriors speak out and educate people like you and me about the reality of it and how best to tackle it, you know? And so they're the ones that have been like, no, we weren't rescued. We were recovered because mm-hmm. we were ready to go. And there's a detective in Houston that I know when we were talking about, where I was asking some questions and he said, the most effective recoveries we have are when survivors pick up the phone and go, I'm ready to get out. Come get me,
mm-hmm.
you know? And to me, that's the most empowering thing about this particular day is as a person, it's not okay. As a community, it's not okay. As a nation, it's not okay. We stand for freedom and liberty, right? If someone is forcing me mm-hmm. to do something I would not choose to do, really choose, right? Because I have to have the experience of choice. And if I have the experience of the only way I can feed my family is to sell my body, that's not choice. That is not a choice. So, you know, and at the global level, and the challenging thing about finding statistics about this, I have some great discourse with some of my friends in law enforcement across the country about this, is we all know statistics are important. So for our brain to wrap around really what this is, right? And the National Trafficking Hotline is one great resource because people pick up the phone and they call, right? That's an action someone takes. I can measure that. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. People can type in a cyber tip or again, pick up the phone and call. So that's data I can put my hand around. And the thing that most people don't really fully grasp is most victims don't think they're victims. They actually have been manipulated and coerced to think that they chose this. Mm-hmm. And that's where we come with the youth and the phone is they've bonded with somebody, you know, they bonded with someone close to our age. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I'm 14. That person's 45, generally a 45-year-old white male, right? There are females that traffic people too, but it's mainly men. Who's going to win that mental battle? It'd be like me and you going up to the U.S. Open in September and Serena Williams being down on center court and going, Mike, come on down, right? Who's going to win that game?
Yeah,
she is.
Right.
So it's the same thing in the mental environment, right? So one of the things our film called Trapped in the Trade does is it shows it's a short film. It's 28 minutes. You cannot find it online because it does leave people in an emotional space. You can see the trailer though. The trailer will leave you in a little bit of space too, but it shows the intentional grooming and recruitment of children by children. And that's exactly what Jeffrey Epstein did. He took girls, 14-year-old girls, and had them go get other 14-year-old girls, right? So it's loosely based on reality. It was I read a story after I started writing it. I wrote the film in 2 days. Total download. And I wrote about the, got to get this is 8 years ago. I wrote about stuff I didn't know about. I know now. And, you know, it takes children through a journey and it's not a happy ending,
mm-hmm.
which it was done intentionally. Because that really gives us the opportunity to have the real conversations with the youth. You know, out of the almost 15,000 people we've been in front of, about 12,000, 13,000 have been kids, right? They've been middle schoolers, high schoolers, and college students. And the thing that I'm left with, which is inspiring every time, is they get it. It has them do thinking that they would normally not do. And they actually take actions. Every time we speak, I get a text or a, you know, from the gajillion ways to communicate now other than text or Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, you know, all that stuff, is I'll get a message back going, I called the hotline number, right? Mm-hmm. And because they know what human trafficking looks like, they understand what actions to take and they take it. And to me, that's everything. Because the reason why I started this organization, the reason why I do what I do, is my goal is to accomplish one of two things. I either want to thwart, I want to interrupt something that's going to happen and prevent it from happening. I don't want that child to get in the car of their uncle's, brother's, cousin's, sister's, best friend's car. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Right. Or once you've learned something, you want to share it with someone else that potentially prevents them from making that mistake. And so that's the conversation that our film opens up. You know, we have a 90-minute training program for youth. It's highly effective. And how I know it's effective is the second day for 45 minutes, we let them draw posters. We have them draw posters. I said, I want you to come up with a hashtag. All right, put them in groups of 4 to 6. I said, you need to come up with a hashtag and a picture of what you got out of the past 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what these youth come up with. And that's how I know they got it. There's a poster of like this muscly guy, right? And all the hashtags are respect women, protect women, keep women safe. And these are 13-year-old boys.
Hmm.
That's how I know that when we have this conversation, it makes that kind of difference. And, you know, for anybody, and the good news is Ron DeSantis signed a bill. It's now in play to have human trafficking prevention education be in every single school. From K through 12.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So our, you know,
big change.
Oh, it's huge. Our state of Florida really does. You know, we take a hard line against this, which is great. And, you know, for any parent that wants to learn more, if for any principal of a private school or a Christian school wants to learn more, you know, please reach out and find us pavingthewayfoundation.org. On our contact, they can down. We've got all kinds of tools and all kinds of videos, and we've got a plethora of information. And nothing makes the kind of difference that our programs do.
Now,
is being face to face.
You mentioned your website there, pavingthewayfoundation.org. Pavingthewayfoundation.org.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that the film is not available on the internet.
No,
so how do people
not.
Get a hold of it?
They pick up the phone and they call me.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't just send it out. Because it is the basis of all of our training.
Okay.
You know, and because it leaves people in an emotional space, we need to address that space so they feel empowered versus lost and depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's why the film comes with us. You know, I've got 55 mission ambassadors across the country. We're training about 8 facilitators to have this conversation because it is a conversation. That's how people work it out. And I've sent the film to law enforcement. And it's so funny. I'm like, you have to promise me you're going to watch this with someone. And they'll be like, yeah, sure, Jan. I'm like, no, really, you have to watch this with someone because you're going to want to talk about it. And they're like, yeah, whatever, Jan, fine. Every time they're like, you were right. I should have watched this with my wife or my, and I said, yeah. I said, because you want to talk about what could she have done differently? What could the, you know, because we talk about bystanders,
mm-hmm.
you know, what, because there's several points along the journey that someone could have intervened. right? What could you have done if you were that person in the restaurant? What could you have done? So that's where we have them do the critical thinking. And that's where the Socratic method of education comes in is I ask questions. I want them to do the thinking, because when they do the thinking and mm-hmm. they come up with a solution, it's theirs. No one handed it to them. And that's what stays with them for the rest of their life.
Let's spend, if you will, the next few moments that we have left here on the issue of guilt. What happens in a parent when they realize that their child is either involved, or what happens in the young person who's allowed themselves to get into a scenario, even maybe against warning, that was given to them, and they still stepped into it, and they're left with this guilt? Because guilt, is it not one of the most strong weapons?
Shame is worse.
Yeah,
shame is worse.
Shame is worse than guilt. Okay,
it
I see them both playing into this thing. They know they're guilty. They know they've done it, and the shame that goes along with it.
But see, they're not guilty. That's the thing. That's, if I can impress this upon any adult, the child doesn't know. Remember, their prefrontal cortex is not fully developed yet. Our children are lost and lonely right now.
Mm-hmm.
They can't talk to their parents about this. Their parents don't even know how to talk about this. There's no guilt because it's not their fault. And if any child that's listening to this, that you've sent out a picture you didn't mean to, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. You were manipulated and coerced into doing something that you thought was to someone you love, and they're not. It's a numbers game for these guys. Mm-hmm. These predators go online, and they will send message after message after message to hundreds of children waiting to see who's going to take that bite. It is not their fault. So there is nothing to feel guilty for from the child's point of view. But they will, because these predators will make them feel guilty.
That's exactly what I'm referring to,
the
right?
Predators yeah. will make them feel guilty. Well, you mm-hmm. sent the picture. You did this. Now, remember, my brain's not developed yet. So I'm going to internalize that, which brings me to the shame and the embarrassment of, I can't tell my parents I did this, right? I just read an article 2 weeks ago that the rise in teenage girl suicide rate is up 51% over last year because of this kind of stuff, because of the shame, because of the embarrassment. And I don't want to disappoint my parents. That's another, just one of the most destructive emotions we have.
It is true. Shame is a big one, but thanks be to God. He has the ability and gives us grace.
Amen.
To remove that.
Amen.
And I love that picture of forgiveness that the Lord gives us, and cleansing that His Spirit brings to us when we come to Him.
Amen.
And that's available to everyone who mm-hmm. is listening. That's available to everyone who has been affected by this thing. And I wish you the very, very best. Give us all of your contact information again, especially
sure.
if someone is interested in getting a hold of that film.
Sure. So again, our website is pavingthewayfoundation.org. You can go to the contact and reach out to us. I also want to give you the human trafficking hotline number. So anyone listening to this, I want you to put it in your phone. So if you see something, I want you to do something. You know, the context out there, see something, say something. I'm like, no, do something. Pick mm-hmm. up the phone and make the call, right? So that number is really easy. 888-3737-888 is the hotline number. And if you see something that you think is just like really off and you want to make the call right now, call 911.
And give us your website one more time.
Absolutely. pavingthewayfoundation.org. You can contact us anytime and we'll reach out to you.
Jan Edwards, my guest today. Thank you for being with me, Jan.
Thank you.
And friends, thanks for being with me as well. We'll catch you next time here on The Shepherd.